I was fucked up at that bitch. And then Disney is like, we'll get you as drunk as you want. 2 drinks per visit. So you could walk out the door and come right back in. We'll give you 2 more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh.
This is Starman, a.k.a. Fox Blunt, also known as Yuki the Golden Karama, host of the Ninja Please podcast. And I just would like to say thank you for listening, and be sure to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Stay tuned for more.
Okay.
Yeah, Disney is trying to get fucked up. Yeah. They used to be a dry amusement park, and after that, they were like, get as fucked up as you want.
It's a whole panorama out here.
Right. We just trying to bring y'all back. And it ain't like they going skimp on the alcohol, neither.
Get you a tall boy.
Right, you go to the state. No, it ain't gonna serve you up like that. I mean, you go to the little bar, they'll serve you up. But if you go into a stand or some shit where you gonna take away a cup with you, they ain't gonna make you no light cup. They gonna go ahead and make it heavy. So if you walking around, everybody think you got a pink lemonade. Like, yeah, I got a pink lemonade, all right.
Pink Molly make the damn fun.
Right. That's gonna be fucked up out that bit. Buzz Lightyear.
All right, so I'm absolutely ridiculously petrified of a few things in life: needles and heights, and roller coasters. Absolutely, they do not go well with me. And
just ride the thrill rides then.
Man, listen, I can ride the Himalaya at the fair.
Yeah.
And the thing that has a centrifugal force that keeps you up against the thing.
Yeah, the Starship.
That's about it. That's about the extent of the risk that I'm willing to take.
Nah, bro, see, you need to go ahead and go to the amusement park with me. I get your ass on fucking Star Tours, the Star Wars ride. Like, okay, you remember when we were growing up, they had the roller coaster simulation. You get in the little box shit. And
Awful. Yep, can't do that either. Can't do that either.
That's the shit.
That Back to the Future shit? Oh, my God.
Oh, bro, that's the shit.
Space Mountain.
Space Mountain was fun as fuck.
Hey, you know what I'm about to
do. We got on that shit 30 fucking times, bro.
That's what I told
Nigga, was at number Disneyland. One, I was that like, shit. Bruh. I know that shit high, but number two, that shit in the dark. Oh God!
And then it's even better now because you can't even see the track no more. They made it even darker, bro. You can't even see the track in that bit.
Hell no!
No, that shit is amazing.
Well, that shit was fine.
Bruh. And then they got these little shits that they put over it, like they 3D map different shit over it. They got one that they do for around like the holiday season at Star Wars. They got one that they do explicitly for Halloween. So it's like the ghost of space or some shit. So you go through black holes and all that shit.
That shit be dope.
Hell yeah, dog.
I've been screaming like a hoe the whole time.
I want to see that new shit, bro.
I always knew I didn't like roller coasters, but my mom convinced me to get on one. And when I got them, the first one I rode was a Scream Machine.
Me too.
And I knew I wasn't going to like this shit. Like,
it's a wooden roller coaster.
I just knew I wasn't going to like that shit.
Put my damn chin in my chest.
The safety bar that holds us down came up. So my first experience is we're going to this thing, click, 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 and the shit pop up. Ah! My ear is screaming. Then we're going down, bitch.
We're gonna die.
Right. Like, I'm about to die.
Yeah, we're gonna die. About to die. We're gonna do that shit. Boom. Then that bitch stop. Do you know what that bitch does? That motherfucker goes backwards. Nigga, oh my God, this is the worst experience I've ever had in my motherfucking life.
That's what it's saying.
I will never, ever get on one of these things again the next year. I was like, fuck it. I just had a bad experience. I'm gonna do it again. That shit was even worse. Never touched a roller coaster until I was dating this chick. And we went to a place called Dixieland. And it's like in Fayetteville, Georgia.
Yeah, I've been to Fayetteville quite a few times.
And they have like a little small roller coaster. That shit's really for like, you know, teenagers and below. I was like, okay, listen, I'm a grown ass man now.
I can handle
it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't fought niggas. We done been into combat. Like, you know, I'm like, we could do this shit. Like, fuck this shit. I'm a man now. That shit, nigga, and I scream like a little bitch the entire time. And then it's like a kid in front of me. He's like, it's not even that scary. Shut the fuck up talking to me.
My stomach is in my belly button right now. Shut up.
She can't be trying to get me to get on shit. Nigga, no. Absolutely not.
Like, Ocean, let's ride this one.
No.
Nigga, you get your alien ass on it.
Yeah. I won't. No. You used to this G4 shit. You came here on one of them things.
And that's the sad thing. I like roller coasters too. I hate heights. like being able to look down.
Yeah, I don't like that shit neither.
Like, I can look out. I don't like to look down. Oh, and bro. I mean,
I don't like none of that shit. Down, up, left, right. I didn't have zooming down, zooming up.
I did have to conquer that shit.
Stomach not being where.
Yeah, I don't like none of that shit.
When we was up in the A, bro, I had to conquer that shit because what y'all didn't know was I was out there free running and shit. From building to building and shit, just to see if I could. Was freeing, but at the same time, I wouldn't recommend nobody do that shit. You don't.
Nah, nigga.
You ain't got no kind of death wish.
If I had to free run for my life, I would get to the edge, pull out like a grappling hook, sling that shit off there very gingerly, get myself right. there, and then very
you
gingerly
don't even
get
yourself up running to the land. You get there, pull that shit out.
Like, I take off running when I get to there, and I get to the edge, just stop. Like, oh, no.
Hey, yo, that'd be some cool shit for an action movie. Like, if you make an action comedy movie,
and you just kind of roll over very slow.
Hell yeah. Then stand up, brush yourself up.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the other nigga free running, that nigga's a city block away. Like,
like, bro, hold up.
Hold on.
Then you hear him on the little intercom. Hold on, dog. I gotta catch up.
Nah, fuck it. Keep going. I got you.
I got you, dog.
Nah, I just call an Uber. I'm like, I'm just gonna
right,
Uber
pull up on him.
Yeah. Yeah. Meet him at the same spot.
Yeah, the same spot.
You pull up on him.
Uber.
Like, damn, how you got here so fast, bro?
He rolling the blood. He just got the Uber.
Hey, yeah, get out of the Uber.
Hey, man, goddamn,
appreciate you, bro.
I knew you were going to need a blunt by the time you got here, bro. I saw you doing all the acrobatic shit.
Yeah. It was like you was Batman, nigga.
As a matter of fact, I called ahead and I blocked that signal, dog. They don't even know where we at.
I got some wings in the car.
Damn, that's what's up. I did work up a hunger doing all the extra shit.
I got some wings in the car.
Yes, you doing out here doing some parkour, nigga. You need some hummus to go with that.
Right, you know what I'm saying? You got to keep your electrolytes up. Like, hummus don't have electrolytes in it.
It's a white man's white man's bullets.
Right, it's the white man's bullets. You've been out here all day drinking the white man's bullets. I think you need a little natural in it.
Some organic shit.
Some organic shit. Get your body back right.
Yeah.
A little body of Christ.
Shout out to Reservation Dogs.
Right.
Did you finish the last episode?
No, nah, I'm on episode 6.
Oh, man.
Bro, it's either your body or your soul. You wouldn't mind giving up
your body or
what he called?
Yeah, your clothes or your.
What he called? No, he called his underwear a certain name. Like, what 8? He called him shit?
I think so. It's not that many.
Yeah, but. I knew I had that many left. Like, yeah.
He had a certain name for the underwear.
I forget. I've like, been meaning to watch it over up. Again because that shit was just so funny. Like,
that shit is funny, bro.
Like, you know, like I said, if a Native American pull up on you on a stolen lawnmower asking for an axe,
give it to him.
Hand it over.
Right. He is going to save your
gonna
life,
save
bro.
He's going to save you.
His medicine is strong, bro. Uncle was not bullshitting, dog.
What?
Ever since he showed up, I was like, listen to this man. Listen to him.
Get the fuck out of here, shit ass.
Right, get the fuck out of here, shit ass.
That shit was funny as fuck.
An old girl, her favorite word is fuck. She just throw that shit in there. What do you mean, you fuck?
Yeah.
It don't even fit.
You fucking around with me. Put a curse on you.
Yeah.
As a white man.
You wake up as a white man. Hey, anybody want some of those meat pies to girl with the stomach ache and selling?
Hold on, we gotta redo the whole thing. I'm gonna we're selling meat pies.
Just in case,
anybody knows. Does anybody want meat pies from the girl who got
with the stomach
problems?
Everybody's like, no. No, and then she was like, hey, I forgot what she called the medicine dude who had a little booth next to him. You got anything for a stomach problem? He actually checked this shit. Like, he knew what was
there.
Yeah. He checked it.
No.
But
like, nigga, you know what you got, bro. You know what you brought here.
I fully expect Reservation Dogs to get Emmy nods.
They got to get something.
And take home something.
They got to. And then Taika Waititi is out here just making them look funny as shit. Everything about that got him written all over it.
Yeah.
My favorite part was when he was, when the officer name,
Shit ass. That's what I call him. I forget his name.
Oh, it's a shit ass.
When he was taking a little buddy riding on the little ride along. Yeah, shit. Yeah. That shit was funny as fuck, man. I was like, yo,
this nigga be tripping. Why don't you use your detective skills?
Yeah. Yeah. That shit had me rolling, bro.
You say you want to be a detective, right?
Shit ass.
This is Black, a.k.a. Lord Black, a.k.a. Black Wolf, and you are listening to the Ninja Please podcast.
Star Man and Vicious here, man. They know y'all gonna watch it, so they ain't want to give y'all the Grand Pumbaa of the finale.
Nope.
No.
That's good. Listen, before Skulls dips, man, I want to talk about this guy's... You cut it? They ain't cut it off.
Bro,
yeah, yeah.
Bro.
What's up, bro? I want to talk about this man's jacket and how hard this motherfucker is, bro. That nigga got the Dragon Balls on that shit, shawty. Members only Dragon Ball Z jacket, shawty. If you want one, if you need one, holla at Skos. He got them.
Right. Members only.
Zimbers only.
Z members only, dog. All
right. Appreciate it, man. I had to use the 2-star, man.
If you ain't got the ticket from the Supreme,
that 4-star, man. Let me just. 2 is my favorite number anyway.
Hey,
it is.
Tamagotchi.
Hey, we know what April you would have chose.
Right, right. We all know that.
Good, Skos. Thank you.
I appreciate y'all.
I'm gonna give you my horror list. Like, yeah. Skos has headed out. Skos has been a pleasure.
Oh, for Halloween 2021.
Yeah.
All right. So before you leave, Skos, let the fans know what movie would you recommend that they start with for Halloween spook season.
Spooky season,
man. Every time I start off, I always start off with Trick or Treat.
Hey, there it is.
I don't even remember. I already started off.
Oh, I'm saying, let them know.
Yeah, either trick. I always start off Trick or Treat, or what was the jump with Sigourney Weaver?
Alien?
No. With Thor in it. When they go to the house.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
It ain't scary, but
It's got the horror movie element.
The comedy element, all the shit that go on. You know,
it's more on some Evil Dead, but more campy.
Yeah. It's a fun action horror thriller that get it going.
I mean, it's also a cult classic, so I agree with that.
Yeah, appreciate you coming through, Skos.
Yes, sir.
Hold it down.
I'm getting my American Werewolf in Paris and American Werewolf in London on some.
Hey, there it is.
Like I said, bro, Tamagotchi.
Oh my God! All right, y'all. Well, y'all don't mind. Got a bit of shotgun, man. I got a couple. It's been a crazy news week, man.
News week, bro. We ain't been together in goddamn
a couple weeks, bro.
Got a damn going down, bro. All right, so news week, shorty.
So Mercury is in retrograde currently.
Oh
right?
God!
Nah,
no.
This has been causing many spiritual empaths to find themselves.
Yeah, right. Bro, cause when that bitch being retrograde, shawty, them the goddamn nigga can't get their vibes together for shit.
Shawty, I got my birth chart, shawty.
Alright, so I guess such was the case for a 51-year-old Turkish man.
Oh, shit.
Who ended up joining his own search party after he reported missing.
He was missing, shawty.
After a night of drinking.
Shawty, I can't find me.
Right. This nigga's existential than a motherfucker.
That nigga was on the Four Loko.
Ended up happening, when they went to go look for him, apparently authorities went to call his name. They said he goes by the name of Behan Mitlu.
Oh shit.
Behan Mitlu da.
He raised his hand. Behan Mitlu. He's like
Behan Mitlu da.
No, Jack Daniels. He was fucked up.
That's what he been drinking.
That's what he was drinking, bro.
Behan Mitlu da.
Adam gone.
Beowulf.
Yeah, I saw a story this week about a TikTok video that went viral recently. It was from an actress named Sarah Daniels, who got her start as a Disney princess playing Tinkerbell.
Okay.
Now, she alleges that while working at Disneyland, married men would often offer her their key cards to their hotel rooms. She recalled one instance where a man said, he says, "My dick is like Peter Pan, never wants to grow up. But thanks to you, I think I could fix that.
Wow. I mean, the sad thing is, I believe people would do that at Disney, because when you stay at the resort hotels, you, if you're one of them type of people, you're going to have that sense of entitlement to you where you feel like you can say things of that nature.
Yeah, because you didn't pay them money to stay at that bit.
Even if you didn't, just because you got the connections to be able to do that. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. On the same, you know, level. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, I feel like I can say that. I'm going to do that. Yeah, motherfucker
think like that, bro.
Yeah, like,
what if, when in your actual life,
if a father is going to Disneyland, and then Tinkerbell is doing her meet and greet at Disneyland, and he's like, "Hey, Tinkerbell, I need you to meet me in my captain's quarters to hook me up." So fucked up, man. You know what I'm saying? Like Captain James Hook. It's like, so that's not cool.
Hell,
she doesn't work
there
for that purpose.
No,
and neither does that clown.
Exactly. But I'm saying, you should not approach her as such either.
That's fucked up.
And that's
up,
not
man.
Right, dog.
No, okay. All right. Cool. We're moving on from the Tinkerbell.
Yeah, that's a fucked up scenario. That's
a terrible hill to die on.
That soccer mom should not have done that.
So I heard a story this week about a Boston high school was forced to use a party bus with a stripper pole for a field trip.
Clown, then, you know.
Boston High School used a party bus for a field trip.
Wait, so what? Who did that?
Yeah, a Boston High School.
Okay.
All right. Boston. What's funny about this story is it wasn't sex ed. Okay. This wasn't even a sex ed cast. They used a party bus with stripper poles. Oh, it was English and writing. They end up taking a field trip to museums and shit, but parents became upset.
The strippers were still there.
No, it was just a party bus. Just had poles. But parents became upset due to a now deleted tweet which showed the bus
with the pole
with
in
the
it.
Name WAP Mobile on the side. Hey. But educators assured the parents that it didn't mean what they thought. It meant work in progress.
Hey. Exactly.
Education for
Wings and
Switch.
Pizza. Right. Wings and Pizza Express.
You
bruh.
Know what I mean?
Bro, I saw
it has evolved.
They could have definitely taken the fucking stripper pole out of there. It's
look,
not that
you,
hard.
If you unscrews. Read one and a half books for your book it shit at Pizza Hut, you know what I'm saying? You get a pizza
and
the boneless wing combo, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's what that WAP
that's,
is.
That's
bro.
What they get now?
That's wings. No, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
That's what WAP is.
Man, you gotta
hook them up.
You know what? Pizza Hut should definitely hop on that.
Yes, they should.
They should. But shit, you gotta be dedicated.
That'll be the sponsor of the Madea bootlegs.
They won't
the WAP please program. Podcast.
They're not gonna let people be. Like, basically, you gotta be dedicated. And usually, when you're on that bottom part of the ladder, you know, you ain't going that hard for your job. Like, I have a story about that.
He's like, usually, hey, ain't going that hard for your job.
There was a story this week about a paranormal investigator out of Buffalo, New York. She fell 20 stories during an assignment, giving a whole new meaning to the phrase self-made.
She died. She was a paranormal investigator and fell 20 stories. Bitch, she's dead, bruh.
Thank you. I didn't get it at first, but when you I'm loving it though. It's season 3. Fire the motherfuckers out.
Hey, man.
You had to explain it to me though. I didn't get it.
The last one I got for y'all is a story about a man with coronavirus disguised himself as his wife on an Indonesian flight.
The suspect
bought a plane ticket with his wife's name and brought the identity card of his wife. When he did the PCR test and the vaccination card that they, you know, they gave him, it was with his wife's names too. He eventually got caught because, as they can see, it wasn't his wife. But I tell you, it gives a whole new name, you know, to what I think about when I think of Trans-Pacific.
Oh, right, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, how feminine does he look, or how masculine does his wife look for him to have passed as far
I'm
as
sure it's
he
the,
didn't pass
sure
shit. He probably got to the airport, immediately was flagged because he has an Adam's apple.
He made it a nice
couple times.
Distance. Yeah. He might have made it to a couple of airports.
It's probably the former. He probably feminine motherfucker looking.
Oh, all right. So, Ocean, you brought it up. Let's get to it, man. Earlier this week.
What, the dirty dick, man, dirty Duffy say, dick look, riding that you was doing for Diddy?
Look, R. Kelly is going to prison. Kelly Rowe, look, R. Kelly is going to prison. Kelly Price went missing. For the love of God, somebody check Kelly on Kelly Price Rowland.
She is not missing. Kelly Price
she's got COVID and she was in the hospital in Atlanta and she was like, look, I didn't want everybody to know that shit. I just went off the grid. Y'all motherfuckers said I went
missing. My mind's telling me no.
Y'all said I went missing. I didn't. Hold on, nigga. Leave me alone.
Listen. I told y'all niggas. I don't know if it was like a couple weeks ago, months ago, but I told y'all, when them fucking prosecutors rolled into court with a cart full of shit, that nigga is going to jail. There is no way around it. He is going to jail. He's going to jail for a long time, but I'm going to tell you something about
R. Kelly. He's going to jail for a long time.
Allegedly. R. Kelly finna start saying some stuff.
About a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because you have to understand a lot of stuff. People turn blind eyes to. Mm-hmm. People mm-hmm. knew what was going on.
They call him out for it.
Yeah, like I said, made him the example.
I agree.
One of the greatest comedians that I ever thought that lived, he need his own versus Sinbad.
Yes.
Say, hey, I don't fuck with that nigga. And when that nigga was doing that bullshit, bro, I got the fuck away from that nigga.
Right. Sinbad real, bro.
He's always been real. People were sleeping on his reality TV show that he had. That shit was great.
I didn't even know he had one, bro.
He had one on Bravo. That shit was great. So watch with my mom.
Oh shit!
But it only lasted a season. But that shit was so real.
Wait.
People want to know what happened to Sinbad, and he just popped up after he got viral and shit. Anyway,
yeah, see that shit.
Nigga thought he was about to die. Like, nigga, I did get sick, but I was not about to die. Yeah. I lost a lot of weight because I was trying to get healthy. Nigga. Yeah,
right.
One thing, Sinbad's credit got fucked up, and so he went to go buy a car for his son.
And they thought he did crack, and he was like,
"Yeah, his comeback."
They said, "Daddy, you did crack." I was like,
"Stand up that he did was funny as fuck."
Yeah,
like, that shit was
the thing I love about Sinbad. My great grandmother loved Sinbad because he did not curse.
Right.
That's why everybody loves Sinbad.
He did not curse. His stuff was very clean.
Yeah.
But in the reality show,
he also had the wink and nut shit. He was still raunchy enough.
He was raunchy enough. He had innuendos, but right. I mean, the innuendos right. were the time of thing, you know, like the backdoor bandit kind of thing.
Right.
It's not bitch Bush running in your pussy like a crash dummy.
Right. Right.
You know, he just went.
Right.
It was a little bit more smooth, you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
That's like when you try to explain.
That's exactly what it was.
Bust that pussy open, bitch. Oh, whole slut hole.
Because it's like, one of these days, your son is going to come to you and be like, Daddy,
what's pussy?
I'm going to have somebody talk. And then you're going to be like, son, it shouldn't be running it like you just said. And you're going to try to explain to him what smooth talking is opposed to rap talking. Go ahead.
I seen somebody this week say, man, take Cassie with his ass because he got keys to the hotel too.
I saw that also. Yeah. He was in the video.
Yeah. Listen.
He wasn't doing a lot of rapping, but he was damn
bruh,
and if you wanna come to my hotel.
Black Twitter, man, is where it's at.
Bro, it's what bro, they going in because like even you know, best of both worlds. Jay-Z did two albums with the nigga.
R. Kelly likes young girls. Hey!
What he said? He's like, what he said? He was like, so you like, how young we talking? When he said that shit to Torrey, bro, it was like, nah, bro.
But listen, you remember Jay-Z stopped that tour.
Yeah. He stopped that tour like within 3 days of
it. Shit was
Jay-Z
going down.
Jay-Z seen some shit. Right. Yeah. And was like, bro, I ain't with this shit, bro. I ain't with this shit. That nigga seen some shit on the tour buses. And was like, you gone, nigga. We doing Jay-Z and Friends. Where Mary J. Blige at, bro? We finna do Can't Knock the Hustle for 30 days because we ain't doing Big Chips, nigga. Like, no, nigga.
Big chips.
No, nigga, you can get bit the fuck on.
I know, right?
Nigga, Hov went fucking with that, boy.
Big chips.
Hov ain't call him out, but that nigga 60 and sit quick.
Damn, nigga. No, man.
Dame Dash married Aaliyah, bro. I'm pretty sure that shit was triggering as fuck for Dame Dash.
To be honest.
To have that nigga rhyme.
No. To be honest, I didn't like Dame Dash. I didn't like motherfucking R. Kelly.
Damn, bro.
Nah, man.
I like them in certain instances.
I mean, nah. I'm gonna be honest, bro. I did not like that nigga because I felt like Aaliyah was just robbed of her innocence, bro.
Right. It was from Kelly. It definitely wasn't from Dame.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't from. No, no, no. I ain't saying it was from Dame.
Okay.
The fact that Dame ended up getting it, what made me hate him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, motherfucker, you. I want to know.
Rilla didn't do much to contribute to the grand scheme of hip hop except for create a dance that shortly died away. Dame Dash.
Nah, hell nah. Dame Dash did extensively more than that to hip hop.
Dame Dash was essentially in the Rockefeller
beat. I mean, I'll give you that, but I don't.
Currency. You ever heard of Currency?
No, I give him his props on everything.
Currency and Big Creek came on DD-112.
It's just the fact that he had ended up with Aaliyah.
That's a different conversation because if we talking Kanye, if there's no Dame Dash, we have no Dame Dash.
Well, I was so obsessed with Aaliyah.
We ain't talking about that. Yeah, see, we not.
That's a different. That's a deep.
And like I said, we don't have no Currency. We don't have no Big Creek either.
This is about Robert. Piss on you,
Kels.
Yes. I want to whoop that nigga's ass.
And come to McDonald's on your prom date.
Not even.
Like, hey, girl, I'll get you that. Bro, what's crazy? Fries.
No, what's crazy
just
is.
Just because when he brought it in Aaliyah.
We heard the rumors growing up about them being married. We heard our
home. Our cousin saying that shit.
We like, man, Aaliyah ain't married. Like, fuck you talking about?
Yeah.
We heard the rumors. So it's just like, no, bro, this was a rumor. We had it. That back then, bro. Right. Somebody seen something, right. Said something, and we heard right. about it.
It was real.
And we still heard about it.
We still heard about it.
Yeah. We did not have access to
internet, bro.
There was no internet back then.
No, we heard about Left Eye Burning Butt, Shout It Highs.
Andre Rison.
Because of the news, nigga.
Not even because of the news, because we got a homegirl that was in the club with the nigga when this shit happened, bro.
That bitch burnt my house.
That shit wasn't just sitting there, bro. That shit was real.
Yes.
Oh, I know T-Boz. I went to school with that bitch. Oh,
Andre
Rison.
Yeah, I mean Atlanta.
Bro. You always.
Yeah, Atlanta.
But no, for real, like, we heard a lot of the unsavory rumors.
Yeah. Right, I saw it on the news.
This ain't a conversation about the music or the legacy, none of that shit. I ain't finna demonize you for still listening to the nigga music. I'm staying off of that hill. You do what you want. It's fucking music, bro. Listen to it or don't. I don't give a fuck. I'm not gonna let that
certain songs I like
judge your character as a person.
Certain songs that, I like he made and yeah, other ones, you like, know what I'm saying?
Just bro, like, I remember singing I Believe I Can Fly. Everybody right. did Space Jam. Look, man, like, I'm not having that conversation. But Girl A, Jane Doe. I mean Jane Doe 1, Jane
R. Kelly is not
Jane
on
Doe
my
3.
Playlist right now.
Bro, nah, he ain't on mine either, bro. Yeah.
I'm not even gonna.
You know what I'm saying?
The day I got Spotify, R. Kelly was not one of the artists.
That yeah, I'm not searching go, up. Yeah, so I mean, you know,
it's like,
I'm definitely not gonna add the nigga now.
Aaliyah made it back, but
he ain't
coming.
But at the same time, I do like back, forth and forth by Aaliyah. I do like that song, but then
I like the remix to Ignition, Hot and Fresh Out the Kitchen, Holland Road.
But at this point, it's like,
he got damn Booty Warrior screaming that shit in his face, talking about, goddamn, I want to hear that shit. Then you're like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I feel you, bro. I don't either. It did create a
I don't want to hear that shit, bro. Like, dynamic that nigga, on the yeah, sense
from,
of,
from what I've been told.
Are you
going to
listen or are you not going to listen?
I'm good on that.
Yeah, it polarized the community.
No. What I was saying was, as of now, he has Booty Warrior saying to him, I want you to sing that shit.
I want you to sing Remix to Ignition.
Right now.
Booty Warrior.
Right now, nigga.
Your girl want to step in and
not the actual nigga that.
What you going to do? You going to step? But,
you know. That's like a legacy.
Baby,
now.
Want to step in the name of love.
Down.
I'm just like, bro, we're not dancing.
Right.
The title of Buddha.
I'm the health inspector.
Yeah.
Right. Got bequeathed down.
Right.
Back Pied Piper versus the health inspector.
Yeah, that's how I was
sitting
in the
Pied Piper R&B. That nigga had a match.
On some championship belt shit.
And then hold on, bro. R. Kelly gave away his own secret identity, bro. I mean, like,
the Pied Piper R&B,
bro. Like,
yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That's totally told himself. When he said that shit, I mean,
little girls.
What you wear? Like,
he playing the flute.
I like little girls.
He playing the flute, the goddamn lure him in.
Nigga, it's a recorder, dog. If you was in fifth grade, sixth grade, about to be in band,
you playing hot cross buns first.
Music fundamentals, hell yeah.
I'm coming in looking like Darkwing Duck.
Apparently, though.
Goddamn plastic recording.
Fair high five.
So here's the thing. Either people, some people are refraining to say whether or not, or they're coming saying, well, he didn't bring that to work. If it was going around,
I don't give a damn what you say.
He didn't bring it to work. No, because I mean,
what? Who Kelly?
I imagine, but I do imagine in that sense, it was some people who chose.
Talking about him bringing it to work,
like, bro. He used to lock them in the motherfucking studio, bro.
Bro, these niggas didn't know how old the chicks were. What I'm saying is, there have been people who've gone, they've caught in awkward spaces. Like, they went to his collaborators. Every collaborator they have, they go to and they ask them certain questions. They done did that shit to. They did it to Usher. Yeah. They done did, cause think about it. They were talking about they Usher and the same girl shit, and that was like the same girl, huh? What was the same girl? Hold on, Usher. What happened?
Yeah, they not gonna back themselves into
like,
a corner.
Yeah, but they gonna defend. They'll see him. They'll approach him. Nick Cannon approached him. Like, if you work with him in the past and they can catch you out in public, he used to come. It was a certain time, but even now, they're gonna fucking hit you with questions of like, what did you see when y'all worked together?
Anybody who worked with
him. Some people deflect and say, bro, I ain't see shit when I was working. But right. that don't mean I don't believe this shit.
Right. What happened behind the scenes is behind the scenes, nigga.
I just ain't finna be no accomplice, nigga. Fuck that. You finna jam me on you saw something, you ain't say something. I ain't see shit, nigga.
I ain't no rap snitch Kanish. Fuck that.
But in the industry, I'm imagining how they gonna try to Weinstein that shit, bro. That's how niggas end up dead.
Yep.
On some, you know... Like, for real. Like
old niggas, so...
That's some Epstein shit right there, yeah, bro. You
so
know...
while I was over here doing this, you gonna be over there doing that.
You trying to tell me R. Kelly the black Epstein?
I mean, in a way, they're trying to paint him that way.
But that's why
he gonna die. Saying, if that's the case, he gonna die in prison, bro.
Not only that, but they're saying, like, listen, man, he's about to start talking about some shit.
Bro.
Like, they're talking about 100 years.
Somebody he's about to start R. talking. If you, if I mean, you saying
the thing about it is, he's just gonna reopen up this whole... The
black Hollywood
Illuminati shit.
Yeah.
He's like, hey man, it wasn't just me. There was other motherfuckers that was coming to my parties that wanted to fuck little girls and little boys. Like, oh,
and they did.
I didn't fuck the boys, but guess who did? And then he's gonna start doing shit like that. I guarantee you, that's what it's about to be.
That's what I said.
I believe that shit.
100 years, or you become Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Thank you. Easy.
Right.
I'm telling. What did Dave Chappelle say in the conclusion? I'm telling. I don't know. But what I do know is that he's really gay.
He was gay. Gay.
Do the tongue and eyes.
I don't mean this in no malicious fashion. If y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I did. This was humor that we had 10 years ago. I'm so sorry, Dave. We can't use this humor now.
I don't mean this maliciously towards anyone.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Like,
oh. Gay.
From sexual harassment to human trafficking, bro. They gave R. Kelly all the charges.
All of it.
All the charges.
This motherfucker was embezzling money and
got sex trafficking for other motherfuckers, bro.
When he rolled, have you ever seen Karens roll the wheelbarrow to let their kids soccer games that can fit children inside of them?
Let's just think about this shit logically, bro. Let's just think about this shit logically as much as we can. Because if you're in that type of position to have that kind of money to do that kind of shit, you ain't doing that shit just for yourself.
Yeah, it's other people. It's other people involved.
Yeah, you gonna goddamn make them money and yourself money.
Yeah.
It had to be. I mean, you know.
That's where the embezzlement shit comes.
You know, it's a spider web of shit, bro. Mm. It's a spider web of shit with this right here, because this is like, bruh, it's.
You just said it right there, and that's where the embezzlement shit comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Cause people go to your house, they do coke in your bathroom, and they don't really talk about what happened at your house. But it's certain shit that you just like.
You seen Pusha T's album cover?
Like, bro, it's certain shit that you just kind of. But then again, you look at the industry, you look at the money, and you like imagine. I'm looking at the greater fallout of the idea that I think this shit is so fucking deep that I think this nigga gets offed before a real name gets taken serious, because
I hope not.
Hold on, hear me out.
He's gonna get killed like Weinstein.
I mean, Epstein. He's gonna get killed.
I don't think so.
Kelly's credibility is so fucking in the mud right now that there is no way to anybody he can name.
But I don't think there's no way he can name it. You'd be like, nigga, shut the fuck up.
I think he can. I think he will.
If they did kill him, that will make it look that much more obvious. I don't think they could kill R. Kelly.
Epstein, bro. That, like,
They did it with Mike in it.
It'll be suicide. Listen. No, it'll be suicide.
I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
That shit ain't going to work with R. Kelly, dog. Because he actually did the shit.
This is the one and only Tanuki, the Macchio Metal. And you are listening to the Ninja Please Podcast. Kuna, kuna, kuna. Shuriken, shuriken, shuriken.
What is this, man?
They're doing rap at the Super Bowl halftime. Yeah. They've lost another fan.
Oh, man. So, yeah. We're getting the L.A. Chargers Stadium is going to host the Super Bowl 56 halftime show.
Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Dr. Dre.
I know, right? Eminem, Mary J. Blige, set for 56 halftime.
At this point, I feel like you just hating if you don't like now one of them.
Rock Nation is killing this shit, bro. Rock Nation gave Shakira and J Lo. Now they giving you Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, K Dot, Mary J. Blige.
All of them are dropping new shit. I'm telling you.
What else do you want?
That's everybody's fine. Dropping new shit.
That. Like,
I'm ready for the new K Dot. I'm ready for the new Dr. Dre. I'm ready. I want to see this.
Bruh.
Ready for all of it, man.
Fuck the bullshit.
blaster hole in his.
Not a hole, but I mean, that crater. Motherfucker tinged. Yeah, it tinged off that bitch. Yeah, I mean.
Time for Grey Street to rock.
Boba Fett getting a Disney Plus special in November. That's all to that, really.
He came Boba the Fett.
November 12th. I'm ready for it.
November 12th. It's not Book of Boba Fett. It's not the actual series. This is a special about the Mandalorian shit.
Is there pepper in this?
A pumpkin beer,
it's
bro.
Pumpkin spice, bro.
Oh, it's just spicy on it. Oh.
That's pumpkin spice. I buy pumpkin spice beer, bro. Don't give me. Hey, man, it is what it is, bro. I think
you fucking white lady.
I like pumpkin beer, bro. What the fuck, man?
I like it too, nigga. He ain't white. I ain't white. Ain't nothing wrong with pumpkin beer.
I just don't like pumpkin. Black man can't enjoy pumpkin beer, bro.
I just don't like pumpkin. Period.
You don't like pumpkin pie, bro.
I don't like pumpkin pie.
I don't like pumpkin.
So you
nothing.
Prefer sweet potato pie?
I like both, but pumpkin pie is good.
No, I actually prefer pecan pie.
Mm. That's butter, bro. That ain't even pie.
Yeah. If he had to choose between pumpkin and sweet potato,
I love some pecan pie. But when I find out that you need six sticks of butter to make that shit, bro, I was like, you need how many sticks of butter?
Pecans.
Bro, you need six. You need six to eight sticks of butter.
There's other ways to make that shit.
I didn't know pumpkins was spicy.
Bro, that's the dog. All the ones with eight pumpkins fucking sticks spicy, of butter.
I mean, say pumpkin spice.
I know they do, but I'm saying
that shit is syrup and butter.
If I still had the choice,
that's my sugar.
That one I would go to.
That bitch better be good. Key lime. That bitch is killing me, bro. Key lime pie. It's a half hour of life, nigga. Like
lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
Poutine pie.
I mean, that's just whipped up cream.
All right, well,
that's what she said.
I don't know how to shift this to pies or cream. Actually, I know how to shift this to cream because cash rules everything around cream is money.
Thank you, y'all.
Thank you.
Oh my God,
that shit was it.
I don't give a motherfucking 10 out of 10 on nothing. Y'all niggas know me.
12 out of 10.
Y'all niggas know me, son. Y'all hold me down, B. Y'all niggas know me. Y'all know I don't give a 10 out of 10 on shit. But the last episode of the Wu-Tang, we're going to go back two episodes because now we are changing the format. We're not recording as much. The frequency has changed. But the last episode.
How does it sound, son?
We'll get our Shaolin style.
Can everybody talk like the RZA?
It sounds kind of shallow to me. Does it sound like it's missing something?
No, nigga, we got.
No, man, that shit sounds like it's banging.
Let me tell you.
Words of power in the whole unit. I really gotta tell you for 2 weeks straight.
The whole fucking struggle. When I seen these niggas, when they start naming the gear, they name real fucking gear. Real mics, real mixers. And I'm like, yeah, I know that shit ain't cheap. Nah, that shit couldn't have been cheap then.
Right, exactly. So the fact then, that, but it was like, yo, how much all this
spoilers,
shit?
Spoilers, obviously spoilers.
And that was back in the day. That was 25. Yes. We talking about
25 years ago.
Hold on.
This is the last episode. We hadn't talked about the one before that. because we hadn't been there. So I want to start with the episode before they get into it, and I don't remember what episode was before that. So if you can just give me a little bit of what was in there, I can pull it back up.
Visions. But Visions is the episode when the Klan works to build the recording studio. The last episode we left off on
when Raekwon builds the crib for Ghostface.
Yes. Ghost
when they all first right. got the apartment back at the house.
All right.
And everybody was thank chilling. You. Yes.
Yeah. Getting shouted.
ODB came five. In with the
eggs. I would also bread, listen. I'm gonna go ahead and do something that I've never done before. I'm gonna go ahead and give this whole season a 10 out of 10 right now.
They couldn't drop the ball in no way.
Not even possible. No. Even with what's the guy that plays the RZA? We gotta say his name. His name is not Ashton. It's something.
I got you.
I mean, yeah, I know you're gonna do this shit right. I want to get all the. I'm gonna look up
Ashton
all the
actors. Sanders.
Ashton Sanders. All right.
Shout out.
He's played in a lot of things. He played in The Equalizer 2 with Denzel.
All I can say.
But
is that gotta respect my brothers?
We're gonna make fun of your accent. But I understand what you're doing because number one, RZA had a speech impediment.
Right. And you trying to do it without doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I give him
credit. So for that. Like I'm gonna give him the highest regard. Are you cooking something?
Come on, bro, we good.
No, so I just smell something.
So I give him the highest credit.
Yeah. Are you cooking something on the oven? I smell something. Yeah. Got some bacon in the oven? But
they're the classic.
What it is, man, and like I said, Mario Van,
give him his space, you know, the drums.
They Mario Van Peebles has been directing these episodes, man.
Off and on.
Protect your name.
Off and on. He's directed, I wanna say the season premiere. He's directed a few of them.
He's directed.
No, he's directed,
famous he for like directing New Jack. He's famous for directing New Jack City.
Right.
That's what people know him from. The director of New Jack City directed the latest episode of Wu-Tang. Like I said,
and rest in peace episode, to his father who passed away.
The episode prior, like let's get into that real quick first. Visions. That was the episode where they have to build the studio only to get to the end of the episode and be like, bro. Like, I like the ideas, but this ain't gonna cut
right.
the
actual he's studio. Like, the song is fire as fuck, but
the levels don't match up in the club.
Like, bro, you need to record this in the real
audio
studio.
Files.
Right.
Like, they had to record, like, no matter how good he thought it was, he couldn't do it at home. You needed a real studio.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, just, like,
you need compressors.
You need to mix it, bro.
You need what is that whole board? You know more than y'all two know.
No, that's a fucking bus board, bro.
You got the regular board right here. But then you have a whole stack of everything. It's compressors, it's modulators, it's...
You don't need all that.
That's a rack.
Yeah, that's just a bus rack. Yeah,
that's a bus rack. And you pass.
But I mean, that stuff...
That's all compression.
I understand that, but even in Fruity Loops, you have the digital versions of that, but it doesn't have the output from a studio.
Correct.
Right, so you still need the physical manifestation.
Back then, they needed the real studio. Like, it just wasn't enough. It's just like, bro, you can't run you the type of power you need off a wild outlet, my nigga. You done blew out the whole building. There's a reason why you blew out the whole building, bro. You got a lot of shit.
If you look at the whole fucking shit across the board, that shit would have been peeking out somewhere.
Nah, for making beats, I'm pretty sure that shit fire, but for actually making tracks, nah, bro. Because he wasn't recording on, like, back then they weren't, it wasn't on Pro Tools. You had to record on tape.
On tapes.
Right.
So it was trying to record that shit on cassette.
100 analog.
Recording on direct cassette ain't getting the job done. You got to record that shit on real on fucking 2-inch tape.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to go to a real studio.
And how you
going to
force a process onto it that's going onto a wax film?
Yeah, it's like, bro, it just wasn't cutting it. So me knowing what technology was like and what it takes.
That's why I said I want to ask you about that.
Like, watching that episode really felt like, nah, bro, I'm pretty sure, like, even if your imagination outweighed the technology at hand, bro, like, you thinking exactly what we can do in 2020, bro. We can't do that shit in 92.
And the thing,
you know what I'm saying? It's just like, no, bro, that's 30 years. That's like 20 years ago, bro. 30 years ago. We ain't there yet.
As somebody who has built a studio.
That was 30 years ago. That was 30 fucking years ago.
As somebody who's built a studio now, everything is digital. but you still have monitors. You still have those elements at home.
You can close the gap at home now.
Yeah.
You can absolutely close the gap.
But
the
back then, back
there is just hell how far no. can you get that latency gap?
No, that's back, the problem. Yeah, back
it was
then,
more than that, though.
Back then, it's, you weren't doing this shit.
I'm talking about now.
Yeah, back then, absolutely. You weren't doing this shit at home, no matter how much gear you fucking got, bro. It was like...
And they had professional grade...
Right, the home technology was not...
They had professional grade equipment. They didn't have studio grade equipment.
Even then, they just didn't know how to mix it down to professionally process. Right, RZA didn't know how to do that shit. You can't mix it.
Yeah, and on top of that,
all he had was cassette tape.
Yeah, he didn't have the DAT. He didn't have 2.5.
He didn't have compression.
He had a lot of that, but ultimately, what he didn't have was the final output that he gave the DJ. Is he gave this nigga a tape,
a floppy disk?
He gave a hard tape, a full fucking tape.
Tape.
A rewindable tape.
That was from a... What was
a board.
Bro, the quality in tapes.
Yeah.
It's not even the quality in CDs.
Yeah. I know. I thought he was giving them a hard disk.
Those were the beats.
No. That was the beat.
That was the beat.
That was just the
that
beat.
That was like if you were to go...
A session, if you're going to an NPC, I got you.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that's what he was giving. Yeah, so I mean... So you have the element in there. But what I loved about this shit was that, okay, the last thing we talked about was them being on a boat. And them was like, you know, I just want to shoot at the fucking idea of you. Them niggas not fucking with each other. To them niggas like, okay, listen, okay, we're going to come together. We're going to do this shit. And you got the RZA saying, listen, I need you to give me 5 years of your life. This we're going to mix a little bit of that episode with the previous one. But the premise of it is we're going to build this studio, this wall together. And at the same time, he's splitting rent with, at that time, D-Lover. He's becoming Ghostface. Not even Ghostface Killer, but just Ghostface. But then he was Ghostface Killer. But Cherie and his baby, you know, she... I want to give a shout out to Cherie in this in real life, because in Ohio she knew, listen, you need to go do this. Y'all niggas was wilding. Y'all shot some niggas. RZA, you shot a nigga before that.
My brother done got out of jail. Like, if y'all gonna do this music shit, like,
we
gonna, like
bro, I'ma you hold actually this had baby a deal
before. I think y'all can do it, bro. I think y'all should go.
Yeah.
Like him,
right?
She sent him back packing. To go back home and do his music shit. So yeah. For her to come home and not trip because the situation ain't what it needed to be. And for her to be like, you know what, babe, focus on that. I'ma figure this shit out. And him.
And she did it. And she figured it out. And shout out to her, because we wouldn't have Ghostface is one of my favorite top five.
I gotta see
artists.
How he gets there, because at this point it's just like, bro, who I know
he
you
still
to become.
Ain't Ghostface yet.
Like, bro, you miles
you
away from it, bro.
You ain't pretty.
He is. He is. What I'm interested in is next season when they do the purple tape. Like, I mean, bro,
I don't even think you are gonna get purple tape next season. Like,
or yeah, you're right. You're right.
Ghostface yet, bro. He ain't pretty Tony yet, dog.
You're like, right. But I mean, he wasn't pretty Tony. He was pretty Tony in Supreme Clientele.
That's how he got famous.
Level, bro.
I think we're going to have to get to the point where we see them go on tour, because we got to see how the unit gets formed before we ever think about getting some solo shit from them.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if he pulls a 50 Cent, I don't want to wait every week just to get all of these niggas together. I want Monday, the Ghostface Killer series to come out. I want Tuesday Raekwon series to come out.
But I feel like
ODB series coming out.
Yeah. But I feel like
you gotta spit the deck.
They are setting it up, because to me, unequivocally, the biggest stars out of Wu-Tang is Ghost, Ray, and Method.
ODB.
I mean, ODB is ODB. I'm not taking away from that, but I'm saying like what they're putting an emphasis.
He was the first star, not the first. He was the biggest star.
Method Man was
the first star.
Yeah, ODB. I got something for him specifically, because he was an integral part in this. But what they're showing is Ghost and Ray. They're showing Ghost and Ray, and they're showing Method Man, because those are the songs that started off earlier.
Not even GZA. They they giving you those sprinkles of what GZA and Divine's influence were.
They are, and they're showing you power. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is what they're putting infliction on is the first the dynamic that they're putting in is the beef between Ghost and Ray and how they are mending that, because in the episode you saw that Raekwon built the crib for them, and as a Ghostface,
that was always what it was. They always wanted
you. They did, but hold on. Let me say this. What I've known as a Ghostface Killah fan initially, because I've talked about this previously, I became a Ghostface Killah fan on accident. I did the 12 for 1 CDs, and they kept sending you shit. If you don't deny it, then they're gonna send it to you, and you gotta pay for it. But they sent me Fish Scale. And that was the actual first, that was my introduction into Wu-Tang. I seen the videos, I saw Triumph.
I got the special edition Fish Scale, all that.
I have everything now, but the very first thing that introduced me into the whole Wu-Tang element was Fish Scale. I saw every video that they ever put out. I saw Method Man shit back in the day. I saw Triumph. Triumph with me was a hard ass video, it was just long. But introduction was Ghostface, and listening to Ghostface, a lot of the shit that he says is referenced directly into this thing. But they're missing a few things. His voice changed after he got shot in the neck, but he's talking. They showed the incident in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this stuff, I'm telling you that I see it. A lot of this stuff is predicated on Ray and Ghostface. Because even now, to this day, when they do concerts, the concerts that people do, even in Atlanta, is Ray and Ghost. That they're their most salient objects. I'm not taking away from GZA, You Got, Inspector Deck, none of them, because they were excellent.
I think it's because they're so closely associated. I just think that was low hanging fruit. I don't really think that was no bit revolving door.
I look at screen time.
I get what you're saying, because Ghostface character actually gets more screen time than Shameik Moore character. And Shameik Moore is a bigger actor in the sense of popularity and work.
Than
the guy's playing Ghostface.
He's a new actor.
So that's what I'm saying. So the guy Ghostface gets a lot of screen time, but I think it's a lot of drama there, because you, of course, as a fan, you want to know how they got to doing each other's intros from the first five minutes of the
show. That's what I'm saying.
We see one shoot the other house.
That's what I'm saying.
So I mean, I feel like that's
talking about, hey nigga, I'll put your nuts on the guy.
But what I'm saying,
But
I mean, when it came to the dynamic of like the stars of it, like ODB has outshined everybody.
Even if
it is separate, I just feel, you know, respectfully inclined to, especially him being deceased, he always gotta be in the conversation. If I mention Ray, Ghost, or Method,
To me in this, and like you said, and I break it down to screen time, those two are the salient object. But
I think what stands out the most. I don't feel like
it's not that pivotal. Because ODB's character is what stands out the most, because he's the most eccentric. It is clear that ODB is the glue to this, because he is the one that woos the superintendent. He is the one that physically...
If it weren't for him telling the apartment manager, you know what I'm saying? Get her smooth over, like, this shit get busted.
Yeah. If it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for the fact that he's like, yo, I wanted to go to NASA. ODB is not a dumb nigga. Mm-mm. But... And what I love most about it is that it's his son playing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we went over that before, bro. Let's get to the meat of the episode. As a, like, the beat, like them building Protect Your Net. Let's get to Protect Your Net, because that's like, you know, that's the song.
That's the last episode. I just want to finish off on the last episode. I love how, what I wanted to say was that I love how ODB was the person that saved a lot of that. And I loved how the GZA called 100 people on a payphone, quarters, to get somebody. I said, peace God.
Peace God.
Damn right.
Peace God.
And I love that, because I know that type of perseverance.
On the phone, days and nights at a time until he found the God.
Peace God. It's
until
like, yo.
Until he found the God.
Yo, like, I know you going to listen to my plight, yeah, bro.
Right.
Yo, somebody was here before me. It is not us. We just got here. This is what we got. And at the same time, Cherie is moving over. She's like, listen, I can't be here. We can't have a baby here because it's eight niggas in here. It's eight niggas in here. They want to smoke weed. We can't have a baby here.
And
thank you for the crib.
And drink beer. We can't do that with a baby.
So shout out to Cherie. Shout out to Ghostface. Shout out to Ray. Shout out to everybody in that shit. I love that shit. And then, like he said, moving on to episode. The latest episode where
Protect Your Neck,
where they dropped the beat. And I was like, I hadn't heard this beat. Like, yeah. I heard the flows.
No, bro. Like, I love it as a producer. Ooh. You know that sometimes some of your best shit come from a happy accident. That shit was not the intention. That's not what you were rolling with, but it just felt good. So they dragged me along the whole time because I knew that wasn't the beat. Yeah. I recognized the samples, but like, those are not the samples.
Another you beat. Like, I know you're going to use another beat.
I didn't know no nigga recorded half of the song on a different beat. Nigga, Ghost was the one that got the real beat. Everybody after Ghost got the real beat.
Nah, bro, that shit don't sound right, son.
Yeah.
It was the same BPM, but he switched it out. Because as soon as I heard the drum break, I was like, that's Impeach the President. I know that. And I like how they did that
BPM,
whole thing.
Yeah, when they had the original bands, like, listen, get rid of this guitar player, get rid of this nigga.
Like, no,
just
man,
give me
I don't
this.
Mind him. I like having a little bit of space. Like, no, nigga, you don't need to be here.
And what I loved about that was that it was some weirdo on my status that said, I could smell Mario Van Peebles. I can smell Mario Van Peebles on it,
bro. I was like, I don't think you knew that quite that well, but
hey,
okay.
Bro. Yes, you shouldn't
know,
be smelling
that's the
people.
Cobra, bro. Like, if anybody can smell that shit, and it's hip hop, it's his ass.
Van Peebles ain't very well known for hip hop.
But Mario Van
I can
Peebles,
imagine how many times nigga done seen New Jack City or something.
But besides New Jack City, I can't remember off the top of my head. Mario Van Peebles has done a lot of things.
Style of
newer.
True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So has Robert Townsend. And remind me to talk about the new Wonder Years with the Black family.
Oh, yeah.
With Robert Townsend directing those.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Van Peebles' style. When you talk about New Jack City, you see a lot of that old semblance in there. When you see Ghostface, would you consider that breaking the third wall?
Nah,
or would you consider that him just being sensitive of, okay, this is
fourth wall if you were going to break it, but no.
Fourth wall. Explain to the people the fourth wall.
Well, the fourth wall is simply the wall you look through to see what's going on the screen.
So the person themselves looking in on themselves.
It's mostly people knowing that they're being recorded and look out to the audience and speak to them directly.
Gotcha. So you have Ghostface Killer in there.
Think Deadpool.
I do.
Yeah.
So you have Ghostface Killer in there. He can't get the flow right. He can't write. He's got this freeze and he's seeing the whole Wu-Tang around him, and he's saying, Shala Raekwon, saying, nigga, I do this. This is me. I'm going to be the fucking nigga out of Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you can do about it. This is me. And he's like, I can't build here. My cipher's not complete.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they go home, and then they have, I wish I could remember the artist's names in the samples when they're going through the beats. But they have, you said, Impeach the President, and there's another sample.
I just know because that drum, the most sample song
most
of
sample
all time.
Song, yeah.
Most sample song of all time is Impeach the President.
And you have RZA, man. RZA's like, listen,
I got to make this beat. It got to be for the club. Like, the club got to play it. It got to get some love. Yeah. It got to be, everybody got to be on the song.
I know what it's supposed
and
to
everybody,
sound like.
We only got 2 days recorded. Everybody got to be on the song. And I heard.
Or y'all can pick.
And
or y'all
like,
can pick from the stuff that we already got.
Bruh. And the crazy thing is the beat I know for Protecting It is just so hard. And the beat he had the whole time I kept saying it. Like, that ain't it. That
right,
ain't
like,
it.
Yeah.
That ain't it. That ain't it. But they were loving it.
Why
everybody was loving it.
With this
and
beat?
They gave you the best. Like, nigga, off of that beat, you gave me smoking on the mics like smoking Joe Frazier.
Right, but I was like, but bro, like, as a fan of the songs and as a fan of Wu-Tang, you're like, bro, but this ain't the beat, though. This ain't the beat, though. But this ain't the beat. When are you gonna switch it out for the real beat?
Ghostface came when that bitch talking cash shit. Cause yes. Within the second bar,
like, nah, bro, it just don't feel right.
Within the second bar of the fucking song, this nigga got the gall to say, "Not long was how long that this round took me." Nigga, it took you longer than everybody.
You had to wait for everybody else's goddamn verse, bro.
But it came to flex.
But it didn't.
And he flexed, bro. I love it. The rhyme
that he wrote, it didn't take him that long to write it.
Once he gave him
what he needed.
Like I said,
Ghostface to me is like, he is one of my favorite fucking artists, and I am so glad that in my lifetime I got to burn with fucking Ghostface and Raekwon, man. I'm so elated about that shit, because these are the motherfuckers that I'm like, yo, this is the pinnacle of lyricism.
Yes.
And what they did and what they created, I love this shit, and I love a lot of these people are first time actors in this. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that in the first season, Chris Robinson directed a lot of the episodes in there. Chris Robinson is a person that has shot a lot of rap videos. One of the most ones that stand out to me is the Usher and Rick Ross video, "Touching You." But he shot a lot of videos.
Yeah.
And what you're noticing is that when you're dealing with these type of artists, a lot of people that film their videos are the people that they reach out to film their series. So I like the fact that they reached out to somebody who didn't do that. I like the fact that they reached out to a Mario Van Peebles, who was classically trained and stuff, and who might have read this script and said, you know what, we're going to do sort of a Shakespearean theme of this. We're going to have an overarching theme where it is you in the foreground, and then we're going to zoom to the background. It's the rest of the Wu-Tang, and we are here. And
yeah,
that is why I say that this episode was a fucking 10 out of 10, man. Like, this episode is a 10 out of 10, and this season is a 10 out of 10. Even despite the RZA's accent.
I'm fucking with the RZA, man. Like, honestly, I enjoyed the whole cast. Like, we glossed over last week, Joey Badass getting recast, but I think, like, Joey Badass, he got that Oscar, and I know he's finna go do some dope shit, but I actually think they find the guy that resembles Jizzle more. You know what I mean? Because they already had somebody. I mean, You God. Right. You know what I'm saying? They replaced You God. And I think, like, okay, yeah, that actually fits too. You know what I'm saying? And I fuck with the Jizzle, though. Like, the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, like, him coming back at the end, writing on the cup, then coming back at the end was like, I'm going to close the song. Got me hearing Protect Your Neck, which was like, bro, that's one of my favorite Wu-Tang songs. So hearing how it was going from, like, one to another, how everybody just had. But the bars they had, and that was the song. Man, that shit was dope. That shit was dope, man.
What I also loved about this is that they showed they had like a.
Pass me a pumpkin. The bat was like, I don't want that shit.
I mean, that's all you got left.
And ginger ale.
IPA. Ocean's just like, fuck you, motherfucker.
We'll
get
Elysium. That's all you got left.
We'll get Elysium.
What I loved about it was, who was the first artist to roll in there? The first artist to roll on Protect Your Neck.
Thank you. Nah, man, Protect Your Neck. Inspector Deck is up first.
Inspector Deck had the pizza box. And I love how they zoomed into their reality where you go back to the previous episode and the episode before that, where he got knocked by the D's who planted the weed, found the weed, you know what I'm saying, whatever, and he was in the cell writing the stuff, and he was breaking down parts of what he understood the assignment. It's what the young people are saying now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he understood the assignment, and I love how they went into that inner self to draw what was going through these people's minds. Like, they sat down and said, hey man, what's going through your mind? What were you writing on? And I know for a fact that he's writing on a pizza box. That's why they show that.
Mm-hmm.
He scribbled his whole verse on a pizza box. I like how the RZA was like, what is this, ODB? You wrote this when you were 7 years old?
No, he came back because ODB verse on that bitch was like, when I looked at the order, I was like, this ain't the order. Like, he asking Ghost, you up next? I'm like, nigga, Ghost don't go to like verse six, nigga.
Yeah.
So then I was like, when ODB came back with his verse, and I was just like, nah, ODB had one of the harder verses on the song. And that's a hard song to say who had the hardest verse, because everybody came to spit with it, which is why that was a great single. Like, I don't remember Protect Your Neck when it first dropped. I was too young. But when I got on, because what put me on the Wu-Tang, I remember was Triumph. But no, what got me on Wu-Tang was Triumph. Yeah. Before then, I wasn't Triumph was made. Triumph was the song that made me say I want to listen to Wu-Tang.
That
before
was around
then,
middle school, high school, early high school. I was in middle school. You probably was in high school.
What, middle school?
I was in middle
school. Talking about Triumph. But anyway, the first Wu-Tang came out like in what, 93, 94?
Yeah.
Like, nigga, I'm in third grade. Yeah. I'm definitely not trying to protect my neck.
You probably listen to immature.
I can't listen to immature.
And that's you know that's where it goes back to my damn Diddy argument.
Bro, we are not gonna go there. I thought I capped your ass gay last week. I wasn't gonna say shit, but that was 97, bro. I was in seventh grade when Triumph came out, so I was seventh grade for me. Bro, that's middle school. That's a few years.
So I was in elementary school then. Yeah. So.
But like I said, man, this series, like this latest episode, taken to the minor producer of the happy accident of this is not how it started, but this is how it ended, and it ended, happened even better. Not giving up, just keep, like, I know the feeling. So it felt good to watch that, because that's the process. But also with the samples, I was like, yo, that's not the fucking sample. And it was fucking with me the whole time, because I know this song.
Because I know their lyrics, like, but what is this song?
You did not sample that song, bro. I went on whosample.com. I know what you used.
If
nigga,
you did, that is not the version that you used.
And then when he finally...
You did not sample that part.
Dog, what kept fucking me up, because the songs he was using, there was no bass. Mm, so it was fucking me up, because I'm like, nigga, the bass, that's what make the song dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, Protect Your Neck, it's that bass. It's that bass line that just made that bitch that hard.
And like I said, even before that, I love how they showed the very first song that they really had that they knew that was a hit, Method Man. M-A-H-T-O-D, man.
Yeah, like they talked about it in the documentary. You know they got a new documentary out on YouTube called Wu-Tang for the Children?
Wu-Tang for the babies!
Wu-Tang for the Children. It's a documentary out on YouTube right now. The Mice and Men is on Showtime. Yeah. And you can catch the Wu-Tang American Saga on Hulu every Wednesday. But honestly, bro, of the season, outside of, like, you know, that fast shit you can watch in a week, the shit I gotta watch week to week, nah, bro, this is the best thing I'm smoking right now, man. The Wu-Tang American Saga. Like, last week's episode, it made me want to make music. It made me want to create. It just made me want to not...
As somebody who was a creative...
Because that shit felt so empowering to watch, man.
As somebody, and I'm asking you, Starman, because people can't see me pointing at you and looking at you. And as black.
Mm-hmm.
Vicious. As somebody who I consider creatives.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who I consider have been in that position. You want to build something, want to make something, you want to craft something, you want to get that vision down. I can even ask myself that question.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at that. What are some of the feelings, or what are some of the suspicions, or what are some of the things? Because when I look at that, I'm like, you know what, I was never crazy about the things that I wanted to do.
Him having, he got on, RZA got put on and had a connection in the game. So it was like coming prepared, and you having a door you can walk through, but you can only walk through it once. So you're equipping yourself with the best tools necessary.
Before you walk through that
door. But he walked through it twice. Door.
No, he only had one chance to walk through that door, because they kicked him out.
He had Chris Cream.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying that shit cracked.
The same shit.
That shit cracked and burned.
That was the industry trying to tell them, hey, you need to be this style to actually work. He was like, no, I know what my style is.
Let me tell you my thought process. I'm gonna let you do that. But in that regard, how many people do you know even get that first initial chance to get the BET
exposure? But that's my whole point. That's my whole point, is he was on. So he already had the network needed to... These were people who just like, bro, I got better things to do, but if I give you my time, don't waste it.
Yeah.
He knew that. So the fact that he has another shot, and he knows I'm not going to go it alone, because I read the Wu-Tang manual, and I know how the structure works. Mm-hmm. I know what the contracts say. That contract is in the Wu-Tang manual.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So
it is.
After reading that, it's just like, all right, so they take a percentage of like 10% of everybody's album goes into a pot for everybody to eat off of.
Yeah.
Everybody gets 10% off of your album if you're in Wu-Tang. You put out a solo album, the label takes this amount, whatever you get left,
10% there's 10% that goes straight to Wu-Tang.
You know what I'm saying? And everybody splits that 20%. It happens with everybody. You know what I'm saying? And RZA realized along the way that, okay, this wasn't going to work when every... Because I didn't know everybody was going to be unequal superstars. I didn't know...
He was this like, motherfucker had more content like, than this
I knew Dirty was a star, but the rest of these niggas, I didn't know they would captivate the world like they did. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I didn't know this person only had this much to say. This person had a lot more to say.
Yeah, like he said that, like, damn, I didn't know that back then. Back then, I thought about being equal, but it ended up being a situation that affected
they the were not equal.
It wasn't. Yeah. Because niggas was putting in the work. Like, my paper album, came my out as equal. Does,
my album does triple
million,
platinum.
3 million.
Yeah.
You get
a gold album.
Right, you get 2%. You get 2% off. Like, you get 1% off of my $3 million.
But that's $3 million his album, though.
Yeah.
Which is way more than I'm gonna make off of your album going wood.
Yeah.
So your album don't go like my album.
Yeah.
So,
but you make more money than he does.
You make more money off of your homeboy album than your album. You make your homeboy more
than
your,
then he would make off your album.
When that happened, RZA admitted that it got to the certain points that guys whose albums weren't selling like the ones that were stars. It created an environment where motherfuckers was less like, damn, bro, that's... They weren't gonna hate on the homie, but at the same time, it was jealousy and envy.
You can't
it's too
predict.
Much money. You can't see your homie.
You can't predict the stardom, like you said. You can't predict. You can't predict what was gonna happen.
And there was no remedy for that. And that's something that every person in Wu-Tang
because
had to internalize.
It was written down in the contract. There was no way to kind of finagle around it.
But at the same time, they knew that from the jump because the contract allowed them to go to separate record labels and get separate deals.
Yeah, because so Method Man with Def Jam.
So you could go to Def Jam and get you a 50-50 split.
Right.
You could go to Columbia and get you a 40-10, get you a 40-60 split. You could go to Universal and get you a fucking
which had
70,
absolutely
you know
nothing
what I'm
to do with the Wu-Tang 30. Deal.
Right. Everybody could go get their own deal.
Right.
But regardless of what deal you got, 10% had to go in the pot.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like a noble thing.
It sounds like minimal, but when you, like I said, when you go on triple platinum, double platinum.
Ain't the same as my 10%, it's not.
Even. It's different between triple platinum and gold.
Yeah.
It ain't.
For the majority, most of the people went gold.
But I think that's fair though.
I don't think it's a bad
thing. Initially it is. But like I said, when if all is
consistent across the board, it's like he's selling more records than me.
I think,
and it's like, bro, you need to contribute more, nigga. Like,
I think,
bro, he's selling more than I am. What
I
can
think
I do
ego
about that?
Becomes a bigger monster the more money you have in that
that's
situation.
Like, thing.
I think it's just, I think it, and that's one thing I want to see the group form because we know that there is fallout, we know that there is conflict, we know there's not always building up brotherhood.
Right.
But I like the building up the brotherhood because on TV I don't see the building. I see Tommy shooting that ghost shooting that Tommy, only the team up at the end. I don't get niggas just being boys and
talking
just
about,
being
power.
And building.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Wu-Tang, I'm seeing this brotherhood being built. I'm seeing mistakes being made. I'm seeing people leaning on each other. I'm seeing, like, things that I won't get as a representation of friendship or manhood or brotherhood.
Exactly.
I don't get this in other shows.
You don't
get
the building.
As much as I love Snowfall, I don't get that shit. I get, nigga, you need to know your place. I get, nigga, I ain't gonna talk to you like that in front of company, but you really want me to fight homie off of how he talked to you? If you don't shut the fuck up. I get, nigga, know your place. With the Wu-Tang shit, I get,
we got a place.
We, you know what I'm saying? My
we all
brother.
Got a place.
And it's really empowering when you working with your brothers and you know what it's like to not believe that mixing business and pleasure can be a negative thing. It gives you the hope. It gives you the idea of like, no, bro, like, people can lean on each other and build something great because we know how monumental Wu-Tang is. To me, Wu-Tang is one of the most important things hip-hop has ever been privileged enough to have in it.
That's the main reason why I'm happy that it's even coming on TV.
Yeah.
And that's why, like I said, because
I've been a Wu-Tang my whole life.
I want a whole Dungeon Family series. And it's not
shit. Like, this show could have easily been a cheap ass shit show of, like, bro, that shit ain't it. But this shit is literally slept on. This is one of the best shows to come out in the past 5 years.
Like I said, a lot of motherfuckers don't know
who Wu-Tang really is.
I would expect they them to They just think it's like, oh, it's that group of
rap niggas who was like 10 deep. That's all they think.
I would expect them to go into Emmy nominations too.
It's gonna have to get there. I really hope that they eventually get the accolades that I feel like they deserve, because they're taking the approach of getting different directors to different episodes and bring out things of the people.
And the first season was, to me, I feel like the first season was good. I feel like it was good, borderline great. I don't feel like it was Emmy worthy. I feel like you can put it in the running for consideration when it's a consideration for Emmys. But this season, I feel like this needs to be nominated for something.
Yeah, man. I give Visions, I give that a 8 out of 10. I give this episode 8 out of 10. Like,
You talking about Star Wars Visions?
No.
Whoa, we about to get though. No, no.
You just said Visions.
That was the name of the Wu-Tang episode that had to do with
school. Oh, it was.
That episode was an 8 because it was mostly build up. They used it to catapult episode 9. Episode 9 was a 10 out of 10. That was one of the best treats that I've seen all season. I agree with you, Ocean. That's a straight up 10. Wu-Tang is selling the coast for me right now. Yeah, y'all need to check that out.